Kippah is a connection to Chamish Chumshei Torah. And that the Gemara says that even if Klal Yisrael would have never had the rest of the Nevi'im, we still Sefer Yeshua we would have had, because Sefer Yeshua is Erekah Shel Eretz Yisrael, which we explained is the Hamshacha of Moshe Rabbeinu. So now I want to be aiming on the next piece, and it answers another question. The Pasuk, when it starts off Sefer Yeshua, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yeshua, calls Yeshua Mishores Moshe. Mishores Moshe. Mishores, normally you say on a maid or servant, right? Somebody, if in Eretz Yisrael, you want to say somebody is, you have a cleaning person, you could say have a Mishores, right? Mishores is not a very dignified term to use normally. Right? It's a shamash. So it's strange that we start off Sefer Yeshua with the word describing Yeshua ben Nun as Mishores Moshe rather than Talmud Shel Moshe. The Talmud of Moshe. That's a chash of a thing. That makes sense. Right? I never called myself a Mishores of a Biankiv. Right? I would feel like that's like, that doesn't really tell you what a relationship is. A relationship is a Talmud. Right? I'm sure you've never heard people call themselves Mishorsim of their Rabbein. Right? A person could say, I'm being Mishoris my Rebbe. Yes, that makes sense. But to say that is my relationship with my Rebbe, I'm his Mishoris, does not sound like a dignified term. So you have to know what's the pshat. Why Dafka Sefer Yeshua starts calling Yeshua ben Nun the Mishores Moshe. There's a famous, very difficult Gemara. The Gemara says, G'doyla Shimusha Yosem Ilmuda. I'm sure everyone remembers this Gemara from Brachas. Those of you that learned Maseches Brachas, which is probably most of you. Right? It calls Elisha, right? He was greater, what he did for Eliyahu HaNavi, he was a Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi. Famous Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi. We'll learn about him more in Sefer Melachim. But it calls Elisha, when it describes what he did for Eliyahu HaNavi, it says, Asher Yotzak Mayim Al Yad Eliyahu. That Elisha gave water, or served water, poured water to Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Gemara says, from there you have a raya, Godol Shimusha Yoyse Milimuda. Being Mishamish Eliyahu HaNavi is more than learning from Eliyahu HaNavi. Because if learning was more, so then the Pasuk would have said, Elisha, who learned Torah by Eliyahu HaNavi. Instead it's Asher Yotzak Mayim. So Chazal say, Mikan, from here you learn that Godol Shimusha Yoyse Milimuda. Now how do you learn that? What does that mean? Does that mean that if you have a choice, you can either learn by a Rebbe, or you could serve him coffee? So serving coffee is better? It's bigger? If you spend 20 years serving your Rebbe coffee, how big of a Talmud Chacham are you going to become? I would suggest you'd be a Am Oretz Gom. Maybe you'll know Pshat Nebrichah Shahakel from your Rebbe. Maybe you'll know the Shaila and Mishnah Melech. You guys know the Shaila, right? Normally, in order to make a bracha achrayna, we had this in Ochot's brachas, you have to drink the revius in one shot. Possibly you could take one break, but you have to take 3 ounces. You can't stop in the middle the whole time. So the Mishnah Melech has a Shaila. What about a hot cup of coffee or hot tea? Where the way you drink it is you sip it. You can't gulp down a hot tea. So do you make a burr in the fushes on that? It's a good shayla. There's two ways to look at it. One way is no, you're drinking it slow. No bracha achrayna. That's one way, right? The other way to say is no, this is the normal way to drink this type of a drink. So as long as I'm drinking this drink in a normal way, a lot of halachas go that way. Goes by the item you're drinking or eating. For instance, You know, the Chassidim, they make Kiddush on a Shnatz. I'm sure you've seen that. They'll make Kiddush Shabbos morning on a little cup. And a lot of people are Chassidim regarding that, right? It's the only Chassidish minig they have, is to make Kiddush on a... I find it funny, sometimes you have these guys making Kiddush on a Shnaps glazel, they're wearing a ring. So I always say, if you're wearing a ring, you shouldn't be making a Kiddush on a Shnaps glazel. It's like a chatzitza between the cup and your... I mean, are you Chassidish or are you not Chassidish? Well, the Divrei Chaim did it. Yeah, but he didn't wear a ring either. But some people, that's the only minig they have, they make on a Shnaps glazel. So the obvious question is, the Shnaps glazel has a problem that it's too small. A Kiddush cup has to be a revius, right? Kiddush cup has to be a revius. A revius, even the smallest shear, is shy of 3 ounces. 1 ounce is not a revius. Nobody holds 1 ounce as a revius. Rav Chaim Noah, the smallest shear, nobody holds it's an ounce. So how do you make? How would one make Kiddush, assuming that they do on a Shnaps glazel? So there's a famous Malsham. Shtol Su is also Divrei Chaim. Shtol Su a Tav. The Tav says that if you have a Schnapps glazel, right, of Schnapps, you make a Brach Achorna, even though it's less than a revius. Normally, you don't make a Brach Achorna less than a revius. If you take an ounce of soda, you don't make a Brach Achorna. You need to have at least 3 ounces of soda to make a Brach Achorna, right? But the Tav is Machadish, that if you have an ounce of Schnapps, that's a normal... That's a shot of whiskey is a normal amount to drink. An ounce is a normal amount to drink. And that sustains you. So therefore, you make a brach achron on that. So some want to say, that's why it's also good for Kiddush. The schnapps, an ounce of schnapps can work for Kiddush because that's the normal. So that's the Mishnah Malach Shaila. If somebody drinks a cup of tea slowly, right, if that's they make a brach achron. Because that's the normal way to drink a cup of tea. Just the opposite. If you took a hot cup of tea and drank it down, forget that, you'll burn your whole kishkas out. It's not gishmak. Part of the gishmak is to sip it. That's the way you drink it. So you know the Maaser of Avad Yosef, right? You know the Maaser, right? Of course you remember the Maaser. Avad Yosef, when he was a bochel, he was going out with his wife. The first time he came to pick up his wife, his future father-in-law was a big time chacham. They start talking and learning. Right? They're talking and learning. Poor girl is all ready to go. Poor girl got ready to go out on a date. And this guy who came to pick her up is talking to her father and learning. An hour, 2 hours. By the time they finished, she went to sleep. The date was canceled. The next date, she didn't want to even go out. She said, I don't know who's this guy. Father said, no, he's so hush of a guy. Fine. Anyway, the same thing happened the second day. By the third day, she really didn't want to go out. The father told her, this is it. Let's give it one more shot. This is it. As soon as Rav Avadya walked into the house, the father-in-law told him, we're not talking and learning this time, because we don't want to fall into that pit. No talking and learning. No problem. Anyway, he gives Rav Avadya Yosef a cup of tea. He takes a cup of tea. Rav Avadya Yosef goes, and what about a Brach Achrona? The Mishnah Melech Shaila. Because it's 3 hours they're talking about the Mishnah Melech. About the Shaila. So the Maaser goes that the girl was done. You can't blame her. She said she's done. That's it. She stayed in her room, locked the door, she's done. Rav Avadya Yosef, the father went in and said, no, this is it. The father said, Rav Avadya Yosef asked the father, can I talk to her for a couple of minutes? So the father went to his daughter. He said, Avadya wants to talk to you just for a couple of minutes. She was polite. Okay, a couple of minutes. No problem. We're finished, me and you. But you want to talk for a couple of minutes. And then Avadya Yosef went to talk to her. They spoke for a little while. They both came out engaged. What was the deal? When he was talking to her, he said, listen, you see what I am. I like learning. I get lost in learning. He said, I'm just telling you. I think you're a perfect wife for me. I hope I could be a good husband for you. I'll share my Olam Haba with you. You'll share your Olam Haza with me. Deal? She said, deal. That's it. Don't try it, Rabbi. Don't try this one. Try not to. Some things I tell you. You could try this. Don't try. For Avadya Yosef, if it works. But anyway, how do we get into this discussion? Oh, we're talking about Elisha. So Elisha was Yotzak Mayim al Yad Elio. So when the Torah talks about Elisha, it says he's the one that served Elio Anovi. So Chazal tell us, that's the godless. The godless, you see that it's greater. Godel Shimush Yoyzimimud. So I want to ask you a question. Is that the fact? If you stay by somebody, you give them coffee for 20 years, you're going to become a Talmud Chacham. You don't become a Talmud Chacham. You don't learn anything from him, you just give him coffee. You don't become a Talmud Chacham. So what does it mean? Godel, how do we learn the Gemara? Godel Shimush Yoyzimimud. By the way, for some reason, the Gemara doesn't say it by Yeshua Benun. Right? But that's what the Gemara says. Godol shimush yoyisim ilimuda. So I wanted to say there's a different pshat. Different pshat. The pshat I wanted to say what the Gemara means is a very deep idea. The truth is, let's say Meseches Avos. Meseches Avos. Why is Meseches Avos called Avos? Does anybody know? You know why Meseches Avos called Avos? No? Anybody know? Why is Mesechus fathers? Why is it called fathers? So one of the pshatim brought down in the Achronim is that a Rebbe is like a father. So since Pirkei Avos is written by the Tanoi, there are fathers. So it makes sense. So what's the obvious question? So every Mesechta in Shas could be called Avos. No? If that's the reason... If you tell me the reason why Meseches Avos is called Avos is because the Avos is written by the Tanoim and there are Rabbeim and a Rebbe is a father, right? No, so same thing. What's pshat? Good kasha. So I wanted to say a very posh pshat. Pshat is there are certain things that you could teach by teaching. Right? I could even do it remotely. I could record a shir and give it to you and you could listen to the shir. You could record a chabur and give it to me. Let me hear your chabur. We don't have to see each other. Virtual. There are a lot of things that work that way. Right? There are certain things that are harder to learn if you don't see it. But it's a challenge, but you could do it. Usually in person, you get a better idea. There are certain things that you can't really teach. You have to see it. You know, in medicine, even after you go through medical school, and it's brutal, I don't recommend anybody go to medical school unless it's mamish, somebody's dream, they want to be a doctor. If you're doing it for parnosa, forget about it. Right? Not smart. That's the reason you're doing it, because you want to make a living. There's many ways, I could tell you many ways to make a living easier, right? It's very hard, it's brutal. But even after you finish the schooling, the amount of schooling, Rahman al-Salam, right? After you finish the whole thing, right? Then you got to do residency. Who knows what the Lashon residency, where does it come from? What's the Sherish? Anybody know? Rabbi Gottlieb, you must know. Why is it called residency?
You're a resident.
Where?
By the clinic.
Or the hospital?
Or the hospital.
Okay. Very good. Gut gesagt. What does that mean? You have to residency literally is like dira, like a resident. You gotta like cheskes avatim. You gotta live there. What does it mean? In order to be a doctor, in order to get the final okay to practice, you have to live with other doctors and you have to watch medicine being practiced in real life. Because all the books gets you one thing that you have to prepare. You'll see what's going on. You can ask the Zayda, he'll tell you. Dr. Lupin. It doesn't, you gotta see it. You gotta see it. The same thing, let's say, to become a moil. Right? I wouldn't let a moil maul any of my kids. If he just learned about Mila. Imagine a guy comes to the bris, I say, so what's your experience? He goes, well, I learned the Velt about it. Did you ever do it? He said, no. I say, get away from my son. Right? Same thing as Sheikhet. Right? The Sheikhet, I don't really care what happens to the chicken. Right? But you become a sheikhet, you have to practice shechita. It's not just enough to learn shechita. Yeah, of course you have to learn shechita. You got to practice shechita. Certain things you have to experience them to fully understand. Why are midas called midas? You ever think about it? What is midas? Midas is character, right? When you say somebody has good midas, what are you saying? They have good character, right? Did you ever think about it? The word midas makes no sense. What does the word midas mean? Anybody know? Measurements. See, he has good measurements. That sounds like he's fat or he's not fat. I don't know what's meant. He pumps up a lot of weights. Well, what's a good measurement? He has all the measurements. He's garbled in his measurements. What's a pshat? Rabbi Yankov said a gvaldik vokt from the outer Slobodka. So the reason why it's called midas is because character is something that has to be measured. You understand? You say, a guy's very nice, he's always soft, he's so sweet. There are times when you're not supposed to be so sweet. Right? If people are doing things that are wrong, you have to stand up. Right? You have to stand up for what's right. So, you're not always supposed to be sweet. Okay? Sometimes being sweet is not sweet. Right? Honesty. I always bring down from my Rebbe, Rabbi Yankov Zatzal. Rabbi Yankov said, what's emes? What's truth? Truth means you should always say the accurate answer? No. And he was the most truthful person, Rabbi Yankov. And he always gave the same mashal. He said, imagine you have a murderer chasing somebody to kill them. So you got some bouljevar, a bully, running around with an Uzi, with a machine gun, and you have a Nebuch guy he's chasing. The guy runs into your house. He says, can I hide? You say, sure. He says, where? Tell him, go up to the attic. There's under one of the old beds in the attic, hide over there. 2 minutes later, the murderer comes. Shalom Aleichem. Did you see Beryl? So, the accurate answer is, yeah. Is that what you're supposed to say? Yeah. Where is he? Yeah. I'd rather not tell you, but I gotta be honest. Go all the way up to the attic, go to the left, he's under the bed. Dr. Biankov, is that the right thing? Of course not. He said, that's the biggest sheker in the world. Right? What does that mean? Even truthfulness has its boundaries. Has its boundaries. I always find it ironic that when people insult other people, they always say, I have to be honest. Chazal say, Mishanim b'nei Hasholem. For peace purposes, you could be a little bit dishonest. That's when people are honest. Why did you tell that guy that? Why did you tell your wife that? That's so insulting. Rabbi, I had to be honest. No, you actually didn't have to be honest. Maybe bring that to your business. Right? Be honest in your business. That's business. I've heard that also before. I told somebody, how do you do that? Listen, Rabbi, that's business. I was once talking to a mechanic. He told me that he's going out of the business. He said, the only way to make money as a mechanic is to basically fix cars when they don't need to be fixed. Oh boy, now your transmission went, you know? It's a little garnish. It's the only way to make money. Dr. Biankov, that's why midas are called measurements, because one of the ideas of mastering the right character is to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. It's not just, oh, be nice, be easygoing. No, sometimes you should be firm. Sometimes you should be flexible. That's why it's called midas. That's why it's called midas. You know the Lublina, the famous Lublina Rosh Hashiva. You all know we just had his yard site recently. Reb Meir Shapir Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, the one who started Daf Yomi. So he was the Rosh Hashiva of Lublin, right? He established Lublina Yeshiva. So he once had a professor, a secular professor from Berlin, came to visit Lublin. Not a religious man. And he wanted to see what this big yeshiva looks like. So he went, he spent the day in the yeshiva. Anyway, he sees that there's classes, there's lectures, and then he sees there's musar. The Rebbe gets up and he talks to guys, how to live, how should you live your life, how you talk to people. And he sees the Talmidim are sitting there, mouths open, eating up whatever the Rebbe's saying. He goes over to Reb Meir Shapir, he says, I don't understand what's going on. He says, the lectures I understand. They come here, they want to hear your knowledge. He says, in Berlin University, if I came into the classroom and start telling them how to live, they run for their lives. They have no interest. Who wants to live like his professor? Maybe the professor come and tell you how to live your life. Mishugi? So what's pshat? So I don't understand, what's pshat? Why do you tell me them? Takut kasha, right? Nobody wants to be a professor. That's a nerd. Who wants to live like a professor? Nobody wants to talk like a professor. Nobody wants to live like a professor. Who's a professor, Mishugi? You're making a tremendous mistake. The Talmidim that come to Lublin, they're not coming only for knowledge. They're coming, they want to learn how to live their life. That's why they're here. So when the Rebbe gets up and he tells them how to live their life, that's what they're here for. That's what they came for. Of course they're interested. They're not here just for a lecture. That's like a sideshow. That's what the Lublin Rav said. He said beautifully, if you go through Pirkei Avos, verse 8 in Pirkei Avos, very often you'll find the phrase, Hu Hayoimer. Hu Hayoimer. What does Hu Hayoimer mean? He said, he used to say. Why does it say Hu Hayoimer? Why does it say Hu Hayoimer? It should say, Hu Omar. Or he says. What's Hu Hayoimer? So the Lublin Rav said that when the Tanoim told you how to act, they weren't preaching. They were living that way. If Hillel told you, you should be humble, you should be a nabson, who are you, Omer? Hillel, his behavior told us how to act. He didn't have to tell you. He lived it. Who are you, Omer? His existence taught the lesson. He didn't have to give a lesson. The way he lived his life. Who are you? So I said, that's Pshat Pirkei Avos. The only way to learn Midas, the only way to learn Midas is to be Mishamish the Talmud Chacham. It's not something you can just give over in a class. You have to see how the person lives their life. You have to see how they talk to people. You have to see how they conduct themselves. It's not just a class. That's why Maseches Avos is called Avos. Because don't make a mistake to think that you could be kind of this Masechta without having sight unseen, without what we call residency. Masechta's office needs residency. So when Chazal tell us, Godol Shimusha Yoyse Milimuda, Chazal don't mean that it's better to give a Rebbe coffee than to learn by them. That would be ignorance. That's an amoris. Chazal mean that in order to fully understand your Rebbe, you have to also be Misharif. If you're not going to live with him at all, you're only going to try to get the lesson, you're not going to get the lesson. So in a way, the way you complete your learning is by being Mishamish. That's why Gedolus Shimush Yosef Limuda doesn't mean an absence of Limuda. Of course you do Limuda. But then, you need on top of Limuda, you need Shimusha. That's why Sefer Yeshua starts with saying, why was Yeshua Benun Zeicha? You guys remember the dik I once had? Let me see who remembers this. I had a riot that Yeshua Benun wasn't the biggest scholar in Klal Yisrael. Who remembers? Good, you're saying good, but say even better. Oh! Sorry, Hamishim. I said, I have a raya that Yeshua ben Nun wasn't even from the top 6,000 Talmid Chachomim in Klal Yisrael. Sounds crazy, right? What's my raya? The Meraglim were a Sorry Hamishim. Right? The Meraglim were a Sorry Hamishim. Klal Yisrael had Sorry Alofim, Sorry Meyers, Sorry Hamishim, and Sorry Asoris, right? So we had leaders that were Sorei Alofim. That means they had 1,000 people under them. We had Sorei Meyas. We had Sorem over 100. And we had Sorei Chamishim, Sorei Asoros. So how many Sorei Alofim did we have? 600. Because it was 600,000, at least. Right? How many Sorei Meyas did we have? At least 6,000, because there were 600,000. Right? And Yeshua ben Nun was not sorry I love him, and not sorry Emmaus. That means there was 6,600 bigger than him. You hear? Pella. It's a Pella. You ask anybody, who was the biggest Talmud Chacham Klaislein with Tzichus Yeshua ben Nun? That'll be the first answer. Clearly you see, at least at a certain point, I'm not saying at the end, by the time Yeshua ben Nun finished, he was bigger. But you see, at a certain point, Yeshua ben Nun was just Sorei Chamishim. And yet he became the biggest. You know why? Because he was Mesharas Moshe. Because he stayed with Moshe. He didn't just learn. He didn't just go to class. He emulated Moshe. That's why the Torah doesn't call Yeshua ben Nun Talmud Moshe, because Moshe Benu had over 600,000 Talmidim. What distinguished Yeshua, what made Yeshua special, is that he was Mesharas Moshe. He never left. He was like Moshe Mitechoyel. That's why it starts off that way. Okay.